Welcome back to another episode of the Flicks of Doom podcast, the official movie podcast of geeksofdoom.com. My name is Justin Vactor, and with me is the queen of the podcast, Eve of Doom.
And it was just Al Stench when I was brought on board.
And this is going to be an all Comic-Con talk, San Diego Comic-Con 2010. All of our staff was represented there except for myself. I was very sad not to join you guys, but we had a very special guest at the Comic-Con, and he's going to be on the podcast, and he is...
This is Gay Jen. coming to you live from San Diego Comic-Con. Got a lot of cool things to talk about. I'm going to pass it over to my good friend, Tom Cheridar, who is the greatest writer at Geeks of Doom, and the greatest editor at Perceive, and the incredible Justin Vactor. You guys take care. I'm going to go be gay.
What's up, guys? So there's a lot of cool things that happened yesterday here at Comic-Con. The most exciting thing, which is actually not even movie or geek-related at all, which was a dude socked in the eye and then toppled and stabbed in the eye with a pen and looked like he was crying, like a character who was crying from True Blood. And it was really awful. And probably everyone, by now, everyone who is interested in Comic-Con has probably heard something went down at Comic-Con, whether or not they've wanted to look into it. Do you agree, Eve?
Yes, I do. Basically, as soon as it happened, I had to send a tweet to my mom and say, oh, if you hear something on Fox News, like, calm down, no one died, and there's no explosions, and, you know, there's no big incidences, it's just someone got, you know, poked and or stabbed, what have you, in the eye, and you know, he got taken to the hospital, like, everything is fine. And, of course, my mom didn't see my tweet, and she... ended up calling me a few hours later, frantic, like, someone got killed, someone died, Fox News said, blah, 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 whatever, and so I had to explain to her that, no, someone got, you know, stabbed in the eye with a pen, and everything's fine, you know.
The guy was actually he was a fan of Harry Potter, and now here's the real deal, Eve and I are both traditional journalists, so... We know how to go down to the courthouse and get a police report and run, you know, a criminal record and verify facts. The rest of the blogging community has actually never done this. So there was a lot of misinformation and a lot of people saying things like, why aren't you helping? Why aren't you doing things? Which made Eve a little angry, and myself too, and probably everybody around us, which is Totally Rad Show Guys, Slash Film, and a couple others. Because it wasn't that nobody wasn't doing anything. It was that there was nothing to be done. We were just waiting on the proper authorities. And then everyone else reported travesty.
Well, they were saying that basically that security rushed to the scene and that, you know, authorities got to the scene immediately and that the attendees were basically in the way of help coming, which that's what angered me the most because, you know, our group was about 10 rows back from where it happened, and a bunch of us actually saw what happened, the guy that got attacked, you know, him going down and what have you, and then people jumping on the attacker to hold him down until security came, and basically immediately people started yelling, security, security, and like waving their arms to show. Well, and
and the other guy was just sitting there bleeding. And really, honest to God, even if that wasn't the case, this is Comic-Con. This is a huge event. Studios put millions of dollars into this, you know, and to get a fulfillment and a return and to generate buzz. Anyone that was involved in that scuffle, no matter if they were trying to be a hero or not, is getting cuffed and thrown in the back of a vehicle. And I don't know if everybody who's not at Comic-Con realizes, but we had to get in line at 7:30 in the morning to watch the last panel of the day, which was the Thor Iron Man, no, not Iron Man, Thor Captain America. Oh, and Green Lantern, and some of the folks that got in line, like what, a half hour after us, didn't even get in for Green Lantern. So I'm sorry, I would probably leave it alone and let the authorities do it, because when you try to jump in and help, even if you did help, you're going to get arrested, and then they're going to say, next time this happens, you need to let the authorities do it.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is, though, is that people, there wasn't a need to, like, jump in. It was basically this one thing happened. Immediately, people grabbed the attacker, held him down, and then obviously went to the person who was injured to see how he was doing. And so, you know, I mean, and like I said, people were yelling for security and for, you know, medic and everything. And there was no rushing to the scene. There was no rush in by security. It was very lackadaisical. And that's what was pissing me off, because then these official reports, like the LA Times was saying, oh, and then the ambulance tried to come and they couldn't get through. And it's like, that's not what happened. Nobody was blocking the way. They were saying, oh, people were standing around and taking cell phone pictures and this and that. And it's like, yeah, everyone was already standing up because it was an intermission. And that's what you do when you're sitting in a chair for 9 hours, cramped, you know, in these little seats and the tight rows, and you know, you stand up during intermissions of the lights were on, so it was very easy to see what was going on and to see the commotion. Like I said, we were only about 10 rows back, and you know, there was nobody impeding the authorities. So I just last night wrote up something quickly to say, like, this is what happened, we all saw it happen, and don't even bother listening to the official reports that are, I don't know what they were trying to do, sensationalize. I have no idea, but it pissed me off then. So that was it. So actually, the injured guy, they wheeled him right past us. And so I could see, like, his eye, there was blood running out of his eye in all directions, but he was conscious and he was calm. So, you know, I mean, it wasn't like a bloodbath or anything like that. And we also saw the cops, you know, take away the other guy. And yes, he was wearing a Harry Potter T-shirt, but it happened to be the T-shirt that the Warner Brothers gave out in the morning, like when you were coming into the Hall H. They gave out T-shirts. Well, they gave out it was like a gift bag with like a Warner Brothers bag and a comic book and some other things. And there was this white Harry Potter T-shirt in it, and that's what the guy was wearing. So that's what happened.
But let's talk about the biggest thing of the entire world, the most footage that was shown of any of the movies. Thor was shown, and it was a pretty decent sized clip. I mean, they gave us a lot. It was in 3D, but I didn't think the 3D really overpowered what I saw. And of course, this is snippets of probably the best thing, and they shaped it up and put it towards Comic-Con. So they did the same thing for Iron Man, and I thought Iron Man was, like, fucking amazing. I saw it, still thought it was good, but not nearly as good as that teaser trailer from last year, or that teaser clips from last year. But I was really – I walked out of it really impressed. I thought the actor who was on stage, who was clean-shaven
– he wasn't clean-shaven.
He was kind of clean-shaven. No, compared to fucking Norse God on the screen.
He looked like what you look like now.
Oh, he did.
Yes, he did. I have photos.
I don't have anything on my face. Like,
Justin,
nothing.
Don't listen to him. I have photos. I don't know what Tom
– okay, if you look at the movie – he's got a full, like, badass beard.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No.
If you look at the movie.
Listen, let's agree to disagree.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, then I'm right.
That would be a bold-faced lie. Anyways, he looked like a Norse god on screen. He did not look like a Norse god on that panel.
Well, I don't think he was supposed to.
No, he wasn't, but that makes you nervous when you're like, I don't know, and the fucking, you know, Anthony Hopkins and a few of these screenshots looks like the Burger King, and I'm just kind of really, I'm really, really scared that this is not going to actually pan out to be anything more than a campy piece of shit, but that's not what I got from walking away from it. I actually was like, holy shit. And then the other thing I was going to say is they, and we'll get into to this, like, later, but they had the whole cast of Avengers walk out, and he was towering over everyone else on stage, and I was like, that motherfucker is Thor. So I think they're in pretty good shape. You should check out the article that we did. Eve took down really, really good notes on like a scene by scene breakdown of what we did see, and it's really cool. We got lots of stuff on there, so yeah. What's your favorite of the entire Saturday?
Saturday?
Yeah.
I think Thor was probably my favorite because I think we got to see a lot of what the movie is going to be like, and I think we could all agree that those stills that Marvel had put out initially, like, no one was really happy with them. And I have to say, the first day that we were at the convention and we went to preview night and we were walking around, and we went, like, we didn't realize we were right next to the Marvel booth, and we saw, like, this big golden structure, and we were like, hey, what's the Stargate Atlantis here again? And then we turned the corner, and it was supposed to be Odin throne room.
I don't know if they did it when you guys were down there, but when I left today, Sunday, they were letting people come up and sit on the throne and take a picture. Like,
I knew they were going to do that. Yeah,
And I thought that was funny. I was like, and there's not one dude dressed as the fucking Burger King here. Like, I did walk up at the most opportune time. They had this little, like, probably 2.5-year-old kid, like, decked out in Thor costume with a real hammer, and he got up there. He just sat there for like 2.5-3 minutes, and everybody was like, "Oh my god!" and clapped like a motherfucker, like thunderous applause, like the trailer clip just ended that we saw in Hall H. And I'm like, "This is," and then like my camera wasn't cooperating, so I didn't get it, and I had a shitty camera. So, but I was psyched about that. What about Captain America?
Well, Captain America, we didn't really see anything. What they did is they showed, like, a teaser. Well, no, they showed, like, it was a teaser. It was, like, a sizzle reel or what have you, and it wasn't footage from the movie at all.
No, but we did see footage from the movie.
No, we did.
Yes, we did.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Captain America, character.
The little teaser that we saw, they only threw together for us. They've only been filming this movie 8, probably 9 days. That's nothing. That's incredible that they even felt like confident enough to show us anything. Like, I thought that was a tremendous, showed a tremendous deal of confidence in what they were doing. So, but the test costume, fucking awful. Horrible.
Thing. It was a test costume, and I'm seeing reports from people where they're saying, we saw, you know, Chris Evans as Captain America, and it wasn't Chris Evans. It was a test suit, and it was another actor. Yeah. It was like...
I don't know if that was another actor, because...
It wasn't him.
They said that he hadn't been in the suit, but that's not the suit.
It didn't look like him.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It was a dude in a suit that hit it from a fucking MySpace, like, freak you out, from an angle, like, wait, I thought you were skinny. One of those angles. That's how they showed you Captain America. And then one from off to the side, and before you could get your bearings, they flung a fucking shield at you. It was pretty, like, it was cool. I liked it.
It was. And the footage we saw with Hugo Weaving was really good.
Yeah, she found the this spoilers. So go ahead and stop the broad. Just hit the button or walk away for the next couple seconds, because I'm gonna say this and come back, and then you won't have any idea what we're talking about, and it'll be fine. Ready? They found the cosmic cube, it wasn't the real one. So Hugo, who's the Red Skull before he's the Red Skull, smashes the damn thing, walks over to a big, ginormous door panel thing of Tree of Life, hits a compartment, opens up what I'm believing to be the real cosmic cube, which is glowing blue. That's pretty much all we saw, but he was really convincing. You know?
And then it turned into Raiders of the Lost Ark, the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And then Shia LaBeouf actually popped the fuck up, and we were like, God damn it, son of a bitch, you're ruining more movies. Go back to Wall Street, too.
That's not what happened.
I don't know what panel you were in. I for one, just thought Shia should have gone and sat down in the crowd again after the panel was over, and let Chris Evans have his day, since it's his turn. No, yeah. But
okay, so tell them, Tom, tell them what happened at the end when they did the Secret Avengers panel.
And there's before that, when they were in the Thor panel, the one fan walked up, and this is the scene by scene description of that one is also up on our website of the Captain America. So check that out. It's way better than what we described it, obviously. The other thing is in that Thor Q&A, Kevin Feige, who's the president of Marvel Studios, he's the big wig. He's the guy that makes all the you know decisions. He's bigger than Quesada. And the fan walks up and they said, "Hey man, got one question for you, Ed Norton." And he was like, "Yeah, he's not here," and was kind of like, I don't think that Kevin Feige was actually taken back, but the crowd certainly seemed to take it negatively because they booed him when he was like, "He's not here. I don't think the panel's quite over," and they were pissed. And then they were pissed again later on when they were like, "Can you guys just hold on? We got something else special for you." They rolled a clip of like really teaser, like Captain America teaser minus any footage. It was just Sam Jackson as Nick Fury, speaking about what the Avengers are and the logo taking form, and they cut it off and then they start announcing the cast, and it was like, fucking all right, buddy. But when Mark Ruffalo, who is the new Hulk, when he came on stage, there was about mixed bit of booing, and then after they announced Joss Whedon as the director, and he came out, this is the classiest move I've ever seen anybody do in Hollywood, period. I've never seen anyone do this. And Whedon is not really Hollywood. He's really TV, so this is probably why. He walks out, the very first thing he does, walks over to Mark, puts his arm around him, poses for some pictures, doesn't leave his side, and waits until the applause comes to him with Mark, and then walks away and starts talking. Because the first thing out of his mouth is like, "This is the cast. I wouldn't change anything," because he picked him. So that was classy. It's we kind of feel cheated, and
I don't feel cheated.
Either way, I feel like they didn't handle it the best that they could. But screw it. Fuck it. It's Avengers, and Joss Whedon's directing, and he's awesome. So yes,
they don't need that. Roll freak Edward Norton.
Check out our site, guys, because we put a short video up. We kind of have a really shitty internet connection while we're here, and it's tough to get the entire panel up right now. But we did manage to get about 30 seconds up, or did just scan through the entire cast, which is like, oh my god, and you can have like a geek nerd boner and just. Maybe that's just me. Backer, what about you? You've seen it.
Yeah. The only thing that I was disappointed by was Robert Downey Jr.'s haircut, but everything else I liked.
I liked it. Oh. I liked it. I thought it was good. It looked good. Yeah.
All
right. So, what do you think, Justin, of seeing the whole cast together like that? Did it look good? Does it look like that's an Avengers movie in your mind? What?
Yeah, except for Agent Coulson. I don't understand why he was up there.
He's the linking thread, man.
Yeah, that's what they said about him. They were saying that he is the link to all the Marvel movies.
He's
been the link in. He's been the link thus far in, from Iron Man to Iron Man 2 to the Hulk to.
He's got a big part in Thor.
Yeah, and I think they ought to give it to him too, because they didn't even tell him what the hell was going on in Iron Man 2 when he was like, "Oh, okay, we gotta cut the scene. You gotta tell him that you're leaving." He's like, "Why?" And he's like, "Just do it."
And yeah, so he said really he didn't funny. Know why.
It's really funny because I'm like, "Hey, he didn't even know that he was going to see Thor." And they were like, "Yeah. By the way, you're gonna be in Thor because you're the linking thread." So people who very small insignificant part. Like if you didn't give a shit about the continuity in these movies, then it wouldn't really affect you at all. But if you were a geek fanboy, which I suspect most people watching these movies are, you'd be like, "Holy fuck, dude!" and stayed till the end and saw the hammer. And yeah, See, but they can't do it with Captain America, so... But they had a fucking cameo of the Shield in Iron Man, so maybe that was... But, yeah. Anyways.
So, okay, so that was the Marvel panel that we went to, and we have very detailed write-ups on all of the Marvel panel that they did. So you can go to geeksofdoom.com and you could read our detailed description of all the footage and just like what, you know, kind of like what was said in the Q&As and everything like that. So, and then the next big one, I think, on Saturday was definitely Green Lantern, right, Tom? Like, I definitely think Green Lantern people were freaking for.
It was like, I really just, it's not that I didn't have any faith in the ability of that Green Lantern movie, but I needed a little bit more because, you know, the reason to hire Ryan Reynolds is just, you know, to, not that he isn't just an all-around good actor, but I feel like if you're not using a car wash to wash a car, then you're not utilizing the whatever is there. Like, you should be washing cars. So you should be using Ryan Reynolds to be funny. And if he can't be funny, then you're limiting his abilities, and then I don't know how that's going to affect the movie.
Well,
he sold me in this panel when a little kid walks up and asks, for his, like, what does it feel like to say the
little kid. It was
they
a little
told, man, that was such
kid.
A studio plant. I can't even. It's like, fuck yeah, it was.
He was a little boy.
Yeah.
Wearing a little green
hey, kid.
T-shirt.
Hey, Donna from production. Can we use your kid to ask a question? It's
going to
be awesome.
Tom asked the magic of everything.
Oh, shit. You know,
come
here's
on,
the fucking magic.
So,
this is how I knew
was
I was
so
in a.
Great.
I was in this room of fucking geeks. It's like this little kid asking, everybody went, oh, like that when he came up, and they just looked at him, even Ryan Reynolds was like, oh, and then he asked his question, and Ryan Reynolds is like, how does it feel? It feels like this. And everyone, they didn't go, oh, or like cheer or anything. They all went fucking silent. Like, go ahead, Ryan Reynolds. Say the oath. And like, there was just silence, and I'm like, fucking, hey, like, I fucking did it, too, because I was like, do it, man, do it, because it was awesome. But
Tom.
That's what happened.
Tom has to do everything.
I'm a self-loathing geek. I'm sorry. That's what it was like, and so
he's so cynical. It was a great moment.
It was a great moment. He really sounded like Hal Jordan Green Lantern, and I was sold on that. Don't know that I'm sold on Blake Lively.
Yeah, I was gonna say I
thought of Blake Lively when she walked on stage. I was like, boobs. Oh, we have pictures of the panel online, so
that's
you should check
why.
It off.
I was waiting for the nip slip. In that outfit.
That would have been my favorite panel then.
Yours is almost someone else's, I'm sure. But,
yeah, but really, I was like, she's talking and she's talking and she's boobs. And she's
really not sexist at all.
Whatever, dude. She knew exactly what she was doing.
Justin, she was asking for it.
Yeah.
That is not sexist, and I resent that because if you wanted to be taken seriously for art, you would not have worn that.
Okay. She's asking for it.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Bring him into this.
Like Jonah Hill did, but anyway.
Don't sullen my Comic-Con.
You already sullened it. Anyhow, the footage was good.
Footage was cool, impressive. We didn't see the suit, but they also said the suit is also a Captain America. It's work in progress.
Right.
They said it's fitted to his muscular... and whatever the fuck that means for like normal people, his muscle, it's gonna look like muscles. It's supposed to look like muscles and not like bacon, green bacon. But honestly, like it's okay. I really feel like the Henchman 21, Chris McDavid said this first. They photoshopped the hell out of that image that they gave him they put on Entertainment Weekly, and that's why it looks stupid. I agree with him. I agree with him wholeheartedly. I mean, if you had given it to anybody else, they wouldn't have touched it because they would have felt like anything less than whatever they gave us is, you know, not the thing. And Entertainment Weekly, which Chris also pointed out, is owned by Warner Brothers. So Warner Brothers is making the Green Lantern movie, so why the fuck would they not give the exclusive to their magazine? So that's why they touched it up. So it was like, you know, like the basically what I'm saying is that don't read Entertainment Weekly unless they have exclusive footage of stuff, and actually don't do it anyway because we'll tell you about it. Because everyone else sucks except for us and our friends.
Okay, Tom.
Whatever. It's the truth.
We want to talk about.
I want to be friends with everyone, so that can encompass a lot of people.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, dude, I don't care.
What I'm saying is
I want to talk about what we saw and experienced at the Comic-Con and not, you know, your rant and, you know, conspiracy theories about 9/11 and such.
Don't bring in 9/11. Let's bring back Gajan. I mean, Gajan.
Yeah.
I've only seen one, so
he's out there like.
I just met him this weekend, and he's a very nice guy. I'm psyched that he's here.
Let me tell you something about Jack, and he is living it up while he's here. I don't think he slept not once since he's been here since Wednesday, and he has just been like getting sketches and meeting people, and like he's living it up. He's drinking. I don't even know.
Has he showered since he's been there?
I don't know. We've only seen him like three times.
Oh, can I stop and can I tell people my genius idea? Like, you guys can have this and we can give it to you because I'm a people person and I like to give back to the world and the community. I thought that Old Spice should have sponsored Comic-Con like a motherfucker. Just think about it. The Old Spice dude running through the convention like, and he's giving out free deodorant to all these sweaty, nasty geeks who are like, well, I guess I'll go into the bathroom and put it on because I want to see what it smells like. And there's all these hot anime cosplay girls that are going to be in line with me. And you're like, yeah, dude, do that. And it'd be like win-win for everybody. That's genius.
Wait, here's the thing, though. There is this thing where people say, like, oh, you know, you're a Comic-Con for 5 days, people smell and this and that, but...
Sorry to interrupt you there, Eve, but it looks like our friend Tom has to say goodbye.
Yes, I have to take off, but you guys carry on without me. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for having me on. That's really fun. Of me listening to myself talk.
Okay, I'm gonna take a sedative now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take it easy, Justin.
Later. Okay, so we're back from the Tom Cheridar hurricane. He has left the building. Now it's just Eve and myself. And we're going to continue our Comic-Con talk. Eve, so before we were rudely interrupted by Typhoon Tom, let's see. We were talking about the Green Lantern panel, and now let's continue with the Warner Brothers related things and talk about a little Sucker Punch. How was that Sucker Punch experience?
Okay. This was Zack Snyder's follow-up to Watchmen, and... This one is really a very strange movie, I have to say. I didn't really know much about it going into this panel. I just haven't really been keeping track of this movie. But I know it's an all-girl cast, and it's supposed to be like an all-girl kind of kick-ass movie. And I think it has something to do with like this girl becomes she becomes an orphan and she goes to this institution, and then all of a sudden I didn't even know what the hell was going on. The footage was just such a it was just such an overload to the senses. It had like medieval scenes, it had dragons, it had sword fights, it had like modern warfare, it had like the girls from the institution in all these situations, and then there's like this weird Moulin Rouge kind of set up, and I'm not really sure I understand what was going on with this movie, because like I said, it was the first time I'd ever seen or heard anything about it, and so I wasn't really sure what the movie was about. But It looks very, very effects heavy, very green screen heavy. Like, it, I mean, it looks kind of fake. It looks really, really fake. I mean, it looks like if you're into action-y, big budget action-y, like all these different scenarios, it's, like I said, it just seemed like, you know, sensory overload. And for the panel, it had all the ladies from the movie. So it was, I can't even think who it was. I don't have it in front of me, but I know like Jenna Malone is in it. And the girl who's the star of the movie, she's a newcomer. And I can't think of who else is in it.
I know Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musical.
Oh, right, right. She's in it. And basically what she said on the panel was, she really wanted the part. Like, she had, you know, heard about the part and she really wanted it, and she didn't even think she would get an audition, let alone get the part. And because she was saying, like, basically she'd never done anything like this before, and you know, she alluded to being, you know, typecast because of High School Musical. And so she was like, yeah, I was really excited to get the part. I can't believe I got it. And, you know, I mean, she seemed fine in the movie. You know, like I said, it's like mostly what we saw was them shooting guns and arrows and sword fights and, you know, like all these weird scenarios. So I don't know that she'll be talking a lot in the movie. But it didn't quite feel like what you're used to Zack Snyder. Like, it didn't have a Watchmen feel, it didn't have a 300 feel. Like, it's almost like he's taking every genre and everything he's ever done and like put it together all in one movie. That's what it seemed like. Justin, do you know anything about this movie? Like, did you hear anything about it previously?
Before this, the only thing I knew it was that it was Zack Snyder's next movie and that Vanessa Hudgens was going to be in it. That was the only thing I knew about it.
That was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it definitely piqued my interest. I, you know, not sure how much yet. I think I need to see a little bit more. But it definitely wasn't like the hit of the con. Like, people weren't like blown away. I think a lot of people around me were just like, what the hell is going on in this movie? I think it'll generate interest just from the fact that you don't know what the hell is going on in this movie. Like, what's the objective? You know, that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I think it's supposed to be something about how, like, they're in this institution and the way they cope with it is these fantasies in their mind that play out. But, like, you know, I don't know, like, what, you know, I don't really know what that means, like, for the rest of the movie. Like, does it have any real life effects, what they do in their minds? I don't know why there's the whole Moulin Rouge / Chicago Broadway play scenes. Like, I don't know what that's supposed to be. I really don't know. And it wasn't, as far as I can recall, wasn't really explained on the panel. Most of the panel were the actresses saying, like, oh, we got to do so many great action scenes, and it's so badass, and this movie is so great. And one thing I should point out is that the majority of panel, in the majority of panels, you get a lot of questions from the audience, like, how does it feel to do this? Or what was it like to work with these other actors? And unfortunately, these panelists, they say the same things over and over again. They'll say, it was amazing. Like, the word of the weekend was amazing. I think 90% of the people on the panel said, it was amazing. This movie was amazing to make. It was amazing to work with this other actor. All the stunts that I had to do were amazing. And so after a while, when someone would ask a question, we would, you know, we would all look at each other and go like, oh, you think it's amazing? And then the person would be like, it was amazing. And we're like, oh, it was amazing. Wow. I can't believe it was amazing. I didn't see that coming. So
wouldn't it be
yeah.
great if Aerosmith's Amazing just started playing and everybody
yeah,
was singing along?
They should. They should be like, let me answer you with this. Click, and it's like, you know, that song comes on. And actually, one of the panelists for this movie, Super, I forget which studio puts it out, is putting it out, but it was Super, and it's like, It's like a dramedy with Rainn Wilson and Ellen Page, Liv Tyler, and Nathan Fillion is in it. And it's like a, it's almost like a little bit like Kick-Ass, where it's like this guy who basically is like down and out, and he's like losing his wife. He's married to Liv Taylor, and he's losing her. And so he dons this superhero outfit and then goes out, and like he goes crazy. And Ellen Page is his sidekick, like his kid sidekick, and she's got the costume and everything like that. And so they asked Liv Tyler, oh, what was it like to work on this movie? She's like, it was amazing. You know, she's like, it's so amazing. Like, and then they were like, what'd you think of your cat? Oh, it's amazing. You know, like, she must have been amazing 25 times. So, some of the panelists, they're kind of useless. You know, they're just there. They're just there to be like, look, we got big names. Look at them. And they don't really say anything that mind-shattering.
Let me ask you this. As a female viewer, do you think this movie's going to appeal to, with all the girls in the action, do you think that's only going to appeal to guys? Or are women going to take that as being, oh, these are empowered females and they can do everything guys can do?
For Sucker Punch, I really don't see this movie reaching a female audience. Mm. You know, like I'm not sure how. I mean, you can't really go by me because I'm not like the chick that you take to the romantic comedy. You know, like I'm not that person. So it's like, you know, this movie is going to be on my radar no matter what. But as far as the general public, you know, I can't see how this is going to reach, you know, where, like, I don't foresee any, like, let's say, female coworkers that I have going like, hey, you know, did you see that Sucker Punch movie with all the women shooting guns and this and that? It's like, no, like, I mean, you know, they all said, oh, yes, female empowerment and women. And Zack Snyder was like, I'd love to do this cast of women and, you know, all that. But, you know, in truth, it's really about, you know, the male audience is mm-hmm. going to be into this movie because they're good-looking chicks with guns and swords and dragons. And, you know, Jennifer Aniston's not in it. So, you know, I think women only go see movies with her. Right, when she's crying over some guy, right?
So, yeah, her or no. Sandra Bullock,
right? Right.
Yeah. But was
well, without them,
yeah. Well, let me ask you this: was the Harry Potter footage amazing?
It was amazing, I have to say. Well, I'm a Harry Potter fan, and I love the books. I love the movies. And I'm really, really excited for this last movie, which is in two parts. And they showed, I think they showed one very long piece of, like, it looked like almost like an extended trailer, I think, kind of like that. And you got to see a lot. They were, like, you know, it's the kind of thing I can't wait until it comes online so I could pause it and be like, yes, yes, you know, it's a lot of, like, quick cuts and, but it was really good. Like it's so dark and it's just progressed so much since that first movie. That first movie has that like feel that you can watch it at Christmas time, you know, like, you know what I mean, Justin? Like the first two movies are just so like whimsical and you're like, oh, you know, I could watch it during the holidays, you know? And as you know, the movies get darker and darker and now, you know, I just feel like this last movie is going to transcend just your typical kids' fantastical movie. And, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a drama, you know, at this point. You know, it's like a heavy drama. This is going to be a really dark movie. And I don't know. I definitely was glad I got to see some extra footage from it. I just can't wait until November to see the first part.
Yeah, so. And what you just said about the movie's getting darker and darker, you could tell also from the scores, because if you go back to the original Harry Potter, it was that John Williams,
Right.
I was listening. Of course, I don't watch trailers, so I always close my eyes, but I could still hear it when the latest trailer came out, and it was like, boom, ba, ba, ba. It was still the same theme, but it was, you could tell.
But it wasn't flutes.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't flutes playing it. It wasn't the glockenspiel.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. No, it was like the bassoon. Right.
I think that's kind of cool how they've progressed, but I think I heard somebody say Daniel Radcliffe was crying when he filmed his last scene, because, you know.
Oh, well, what's his name? Tom Felton, who plays Malfoy, Draco Malfoy.
Your favorite,
why is he my favorite? Why is he my favorite? I don't know. But anyway.
You have a thing for blonde British guys, right?
I don't think
Daniel
so.
Daniel Craig, yeah, all of those guys.
Really? Because I don't remember ever saying anything like that.
All right, that must have been off the air, but continue with what you're saying.
Okay, sure. So he came out. It was a very quick panel. The objective of the panel was just to show you this extended footage. And so he came out with, like, a moderator, and he basically was saying, I mean, first of all, the audience loves him because, you know, he's from what I understand, he's, like, really into the franchise. Like, he loves these movies. He loves being in it, like, and being a part of it. Mm. And so it was, like, cool. Like, he's really into the fans and everything. So, like, he came out and, like, definitely people were going crazy for him. And he just basically was like, I love being part of the movies. I love filming it. We had a great time. And then he was like, oh, you know, we were done filming it. And he's like, one of the cast members, who I won't name, you know, was crying like a baby. He's like Daniel Radcliffe, you know, and I don't know if he was joking or he was just, you know, like, whatever it was, but I think he was joking, but that's what he was saying. He was saying, like, Daniel Radcliffe was crying like a baby when they finished filming. I don't know if he was like, I'm crying, I'm never going to make money ever again, you know, that could be it. I don't know, but. And one thing I did notice, like, on the line, waiting to get into the hall that morning, like every morning, you know, you have to line up several hours in advance. So if the first panel is, let's say, at 11, you really have to be out there at 7 in the morning. So, you know, you have to be out there early, or else chances are you're not getting into that first or second or maybe even third panel of the day. So, on this particular day, it was Saturday, which was the last day that they were going to do movies at the big Hall H, because Sunday, which is today, actually, they don't have anything scheduled in Hall H. So this was the last day, and every morning you could tell, like, which fans are lined up early. Like, what are they getting there for? So Saturday, I'm pretty sure, was, like, the Harry Potter morning, because there were people all around us, and they were reading Harry Potter books, and they had, like, you know, the Gryffindor scarves on, even though it was, like, you know, 70 degrees or whatever, they were wearing, like, the Gryffindor scarf, and so you knew it was, like, this is the Harry Potter crowd who that's what they were there for. And actually, I have to say that, like, you know, at these conventions, there's a lot of cosplay, and you know, since there was a Harry Potter panel, there was, you know, people, like I said, they have their Harry Potter gear on and such. One thing I did notice is a lot of people like to dress as Hermione, and which, you know, fine and dandy, but I think if you're in your 40s and you're, like, not so very good looking, you know, maybe you're misshapen, let's say, and you are sporting the Hermione schoolgirl outfit, I think there's a bigger problem there. I think maybe you might want to rethink that. You know, you might want to rethink that. So, just saying. But
yeah, we should probably tell Jen that as well. Our other host, Jen. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So,
well.
So that was the WB panel, and again, I wrote up the description of the Harry Potter footage if you want to see on geeksofdoom.com.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to Universal's panel. They had Cowboys and Aliens.
Mm-hmm. Cowboys and Aliens is that's Jon Favreau's movie he's doing with Daniel Craig, who apparently I'm in love with, and I didn't even know it. Daniel Craig is in it, and Harrison Ford is in it, which I don't know that. I totally forgot that he was in it, and when they did the panel.
I forgot he was still alive.
Don't say that about Harrison Ford. Don't you say that about him. Daniel Craig was introduced, and you know what I get? Oh, I think, was it Sam Rockwell? I think Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, he's in it.
I can't even remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's in it, but I think he was on the panel. I can't recall right this second, but, you know, Jon Favreau, he comes out, and they're playing, like, you know, rock music, and, you know, he always comes out, like, with full on energy and like, you know, with rock music blaring. And he's like, you know, we've only been filming this movie for 4 weeks, but like, I made sure to cut something together for you guys, you know, like special for you guys. So that's his thing. That's what he does. You know, it's like, since he did the first Iron Man, that's what he does every time he comes out at one of these conventions. And, you know, it psychs the crowd up, you know, and you know, how many people, like, I could ask everyone I know, hey, you ever heard of Cowboys and Aliens? They're like, nope. Like, it's not on anybody's radar except for, you know, people like us.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did show some footage. Like, it was like three scenes they just showed in a row. And Daniel Craig's character is just like, I don't know anything about the movie, by the way. I know it's a graphic novel. I have not read the graphic novel, because from what I heard, it was really just put together as a pitch to get the movie.
Mm.
So, you know, like, I don't know how good the graphic novel is on its own. I heard something that, you know, not really that great. Justin, did you happen to read it or no?
No, I haven't read it yet.
Okay, so yeah, but that's what I heard, and I kind of was like, well, you know, that's why I didn't really go for it, because I was like, well, it's, you know, it's just like a pitch for the movie. It's not really like quality graphic novel on its mm-hmm. own, so you know, I didn't bother. But so I know nothing about this movie, but one thing, you know, Favreau stressed is that, like, basically it's a Western, right? And as a Western, he's making it like a straight Western, like the humans and everybody in it, whatever, that's going to be grounded in reality. That's what he was saying. It's going to be grounded in reality. And then, you know, you have aliens come, you know, and like, obviously that's not reality, but, so that's what he was saying. So they showed a clip of, like, you know, Daniel Craig comes into this town and he's injured. And next, you know, you see him in jail and he's going to be carted away to like federal marshal. And next, you know, a spaceship comes at them, you know, and somehow, like, Daniel Craig, like, has the thing on his arm, and he, like, lifts it up. It's sort of like, almost like the Witchblade thing, you know? Mm. It was, like, this mechanical thing on his arm, and he lifts it up towards the spaceship and, like, crashes it, and, you know, and everyone's looking at him like, who the hell is this guy, you know? So, and that was really what you saw, but it was really well put together. It was really just like, even if let's say there were no aliens in it, okay? Let's just say it's a Western with Daniel Craig. Like, that's all I need. Like, I didn't even need the spaceship. Like, they had me well before the spaceship showed up. So, so definitely I'm putting this on my list as definitely an anticipated movie, because it almost felt to me how, you know, you wanted, like, Jonah Hex to be. Like, that's how this felt to me. Like, oh, this is how it should be, kind of that thing.
Mm.
So, and, like, Sam Rockwell's in it. Olivia Wilde is in it. I can never think of the actress's name, but she was in Nacho Libre. She's in it. And Paul Dano is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Harrison Ford. And so Harrison Ford was like, oh, so they introduced everybody on the panel. And then at the end, they're like, oh, we have someone else and this and that. Harrison Ford's like, everyone went apeshit. I think of the 3 days that we were sitting in that hall, he got the biggest, like, he got a standing ovation, you know, and they carted him out, like, you know, he was in handcuffs and security was escorting him out and stuff. So, it was kind of funny. But and they were like, he was like, wow, like no one was going to stop clapping. He was like, okay, thank you, you know. And Jon Favreau was like, we told him it was going to be like this, because apparently he's never been to one of these Comic Cons before. This is his first time. So he looked good. So see, him I love, not whoever, you know. I love Harrison Ford, definitely. Mm. So that was a good panel. It was exciting, and actually that panel happened, like the Universal panel happened right after the, you know, the Hall H stabbing. Yeah. Everybody was already like, you know, first of all, everyone was riled up from that. And then second, what I didn't get to tell you is that when after that incident occurred, like they couldn't just go, all right, you know, next panel, like there had to be like an investigation. Like, so they cordoned off the area and, you know, they had to keep the lights on. You know, normally when the panels begin, they dim the lights, and then when they show footage, they completely turn down the lights. Mm. So they couldn't do any of that because they, you know, there was like a police investigation. So what they did is they were like, well, you know, for the next half hour or so, we're going to show the trailer park trailers. And the thing is, earlier that day, there had been technical difficulties of some kind. I don't know what they were, but they were technical difficulties. So they were like, we're going to roll some trailers, right? So they played the trailer park trailers. And, you know, I'm trying to think what the trailers were, but no one is really interested in them. Like, no one cares. They're not even, like, movies that you would even go, like, oh, for instance, like, Charlie St. Cloud. Like, they showed that. Yeah, they showed that. And no offense to that movie, you know, it could be a great movie, but it's, like, a serious drama with Zac Efron, you know, and it just doesn't belong, you know. It just doesn't belong. But
yeah, not the comic crowd, not the Comic Con audience, I don't think.
Right, exactly. And you know, it was like, why don't you roll some, you know, roll some previous trailers that you showed already, you know? Mm. But they didn't do that, so that was kind of annoying. So during technical difficulties, they started playing trailers. Then you know, we had a few panels. Then the stabbing incident occurred, and they were like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. First, they showed the trailers during technical difficulty. Then they did some panels. Then it was time for trailer park. In the middle of the day, like, they had scheduled, I think it was almost an hour or 45 minutes, something like that, of, like, they just show trailers back to back. It's just continuous trailers. And it's a real drag on the day. Like, after, you know, you've been standing outside for hours for 3 days in a row, you're sitting in a cramped chair, like, you just want what you came to see. And they shove these trailers at you, and usually everyone takes that time to, like, go to the bathroom, go get food, you know, just not pay attention. Anyway, so we already had the trailer park and trailer, the same trailers, during the technical difficulty. So what did they do after the stabbing incident? Oh, we're gonna roll some trailers. Like, oh God, no, not these trailers again, you know? And they could have been for the greatest movies in the world, and we would have been like, fuck these movies already, you know? And so they started showing them, and oh, they try to make it like, oh, you know, this time we're gonna put in some 3D trailers for you, right? So it was, yeah, like, okay, fine. All right. They stop playing the trailers, did the 3D trailers. They keep going. Finally, while the trailers are going, people start to scream, like, where's the 3D? There's no 3D! You know, like, and everyone's getting, like, really mad and everything. So they had to stop the trailers, and someone had to come out and be like, no, there will be. We promise. They're in there, and you'll know when to put your glasses on. Don't worry. So finally, at the end of the reel, were, like, I don't know, four 3D trailers for movies that you really couldn't give a shit about. I can't even tell you their names. Like, that's how little of an impression they left on me. There was one with Keira Knightley, and I think it was the only one that I thought was, like, kind of interesting. It was a drama, and I have no idea what the name is, but it's something about these children that grow up in an institution, and there's a plan for them, like their life is set out for them already, and there's only one way to get out of this situation, and that's if you fall in love, like if you genuinely fall, like if two children from that institution grow up and fall in love, like they're exempt from their, you know, their fate or whatever it was. And it looked really interesting, but the problem is that I think they gave too much away in the trailer. I can't think of it, Justin. I can't think of the name of it. Well, if you're on IMDb, look up Keira Knightley, like what movie she's going to be in. Because, oh, and I think, you know what, Carrie Mulligan is going to be in it too. She just got nominated last year for the cat or whatever this year for Academy Awards or something. She's going to be in it. And so anyway, it looked like a really good movie, you know? And, but I was like, oh, that seems like they, you know, gave a lot away. And then, I was sitting with Devendra from Flash Home and then Andy Sorsini from The Drill Down. And both of them had, I think both of them had read the book. And they were saying, like, oh, this is a really great book. And, like, you know, it looks like, you know, they even said, like, they're kind of giving too much away in the trailer. And I'm like, shit, you know, I hate when that happens. I hate when, you know, like, a really good book has, like, something really, you know, suspenseful in it. And then when they show you a trailer for it, it's just, like, they're giving everything away. So I was kind of disappointed. So,
is it,
you know,
Never
I got to
Let
see
Me
that
Go?
Trailer.
Is it Never Let Me Go?
I don't
That's, you said Carrie Mulligan is in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Carrie Mulligan, Andrew Garfield, and some others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never Let Me Go.
Okay. Yeah. So it looks like a great movie. It really does. And now I really want to read the book because, especially since those guys said it was a great book. So I really do. But I think I want to read the book and not see the movie now because, just too much giveaway in the trailer. But anyway, I got to see that trailer three times and some animated trailer about wolves that get relocated to Idaho or something like that. And they try to make their way back to where they originally came. I don't know. It was very terrible animation, but it was in 3D. And I don't know. It was just like, it was like, you know, it was almost like, oh yeah, here's every, not even B movie, like what's below B movie, like C movie, I don't even know. It was like, here's some movies you'll never really ever want to see, you know, and here it is three times. So where was I going with this? I don't remember. Oh okay, I remember now. So by the time they began the Universal panel, everyone was just like, please just you know, give me something good. And then they came out, actually Cowboys and Aliens was the second part of that panel. The first part was Paul, which is a new comedy from Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. And that looks hilarious. And Seth Rogen is in it. He voices the Paul character. And they're supposed, like, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are supposed to be, they're supposed to be like two, it's really great. They're supposed to be like two Comic-Con geeks. They're like us. And like the footage opens showing them coming to San Diego Comic-Con. And so the crowd went like apeshit, you know, because it's like, they're like, we're here. You know, they're all excited. And then you see them like crossing the street. That's right. Like I'm looking at the street right from my window now. And then next, you know, they flash to the convention center and it's like San Diego Convention Center. And then you see them like inside the convention center, like getting autographs and things. And then I guess their plan was like, while they're in America, they're going to drive to Area 51. And when they go there, they meet an alien. And that's, and I guess they name it Paul or what have you. And Seth Rogen voices the alien. And it looks really funny. It looks really, really funny. Like, I don't know, they're in an RV. They're, like, taking a road trip in America in an RV, and they have, like, the alien in the RV with them. And, you know, like, the usual, like, Jane Lynch is in it, and Jason Bateman is in it, and a few other really good people. So the crowd was definitely, it was like, a really good thing for the crowd to get after, you know, the whole day after everything that happened. So that got a good reception, and definitely Cowboys and Aliens got a good reception as well. So So it was pretty good.
Yeah, so those were Universal films. And Cowboys and Aliens, I think, is in combination with DreamWorks. And something else that was DreamWorks was Megamind.
Oh, yeah. That actually, I think, was the first panel of the first day. It was right before they booked it to be right before Disney's Tron Legacy panel. Mm. So basically, the Megamind panel was packed, and Will Ferrell was on the panel, and he came out. Now, this is an animated movie. He came out dressed like his Megamind character. And then he kind of stayed, like, not completely in character, but he didn't break. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't acting like Megamind, but he was just, like, he wouldn't break from, like, oh, I thought everyone was going to dress up. Like, it was like that, you know, and, like, Tina Fey was on the panel, Jonah Hill, and they showed footage from it, and it actually... Dan Trachtenberg from Totally Rad Show, we were online for 4 hours that morning together. He was saying, like, oh, yeah, I think, you know, Megamind looks really funny. Like, I think it's going to be a good movie. And, like, a few other, you know, like, people were going, like, really? You know, I don't know, Megamind, you know? And then when we were in the panel watching it and they showed the footage, like, I was laughing my ass off. And I, you know, I said, Dan, you know, you're right, man. This really is funny, you know, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. He plays like, you know, it's almost like a Superman origin, like where him and another baby from another planet. I don't know if it was from another planet or just from another side of the planet. I don't remember, but it was like they get shipped to Earth. And then when they land on Earth, like they have two different paths that they follow. One becomes like a hero, one becomes a villain. So Megamind is a villain, and then but eventually, like when he, you know how every villain is like, I'm gonna take over the world, you know. It was like when he does have the opportunity, like he finally is like, okay, I've taken over the world. He's like, wait, what do I do with it now? You know. So that's the whole premise of the movie, is like, what does he do with this power that he's been trying to get all this time, and now he's got it, and now what is he going to do with it? So, but it's Will Ferrell, and I happen to find him extremely hilarious in everything that he does. So and it was great, because, you know, he was in what was the other movie he was in, Will Ferrell? What? Oh, later on, there was the panel for the other guys. And that's the movie. It's the live-action movie he's in with Mark Wahlberg, and they play cops. And in that panel happened to be just hilarious. Like, I don't think they even talked about the movie that much. They were just, like, answering audience questions, and they all, it was like, them two and the director and Eva Mendes, and they just had the audience was just rolling. It was like, you know, Will Ferrell started to, like, people were asking, what's your, you know, like, oh, your movies are so quotable. Like, what's your, you know, what are your, some of your favorite quotes to say, or like, what quotes do you get the most? And of course, you know, he was like, when he first came up, he was like, it's nice to be back in the whale's vagina, you know? And he just started like naming all these quotes from his movies, and people just went nuts hearing him say it like that. And, you know, they were like, oh, you know, you're going to do Anchorman 2? And they were saying, oh, yeah, we'd love to, or whatever. But anyway, I don't even know what I was saying. But yeah, but Will Ferrell, he was hilarious. He was great in both panels that he was in. And definitely going to go see the other guys now as well. Like, that was another movie where I was like, you know, maybe I'll just wait. But I think I'm going to go see it because it looks really, really funny. So.
Yeah, that one comes out the first week of August.
So. Okay, yeah, I'll probably go see it.
Yeah. Will you be seeing Guillermo del Toro's Don't Be Afraid of the Dark?
Oh my god. Let me tell you something about Guillermo del Toro. He doesn't even need to make movies anymore. Okay? All he has to do, he could just go on like a what do they call it? Like a speaking engagement tour. Like, forget about making movies. Just go across the world and just go, like, do speaking engagements. Because when that man speaks, his audience is just captivated. Like, he is so intelligent and creative, and just he has such an amazing mind, and so anything he says, you're just on board with it. You're like, yeah, all right, great, you know, do it. Like, whatever he says, you're like, yes, do it. And for this one, he's doing Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. It's a remake of, like, you know, this TV movie that was on in the 70s, and, like, you know, I remember seeing that movie when I was a kid on TV, and they used to replay it, like, every so often on, like, the local channel, and, man, it scared the crap out of me. It really, really scared the freaking crap out of me. And when I heard he was remaking it, I was like, well, you know, like, I don't know how fun, you know, I don't know how scary it will be now, but after I saw the footage that they showed, I was just like, it's going to be scary. Like, and not like torture porn scary, or, you know, like, oh, jump out at you scary. It's like a psychological frightening that you're going to get. Like, they showed, well, actually, there might actually be the jumpy, like, boo, you know, we're scaring you kind of thing. But, like, so basically what they did is first they showed a teaser. And it's, like, just this little girl, like, under the covers with a flashlight, and she's, like, crawling under the covers, like, and she's scared and this and that. And then when she gets to the end of the bed, it's, like, yeah, you know, like, I don't even, you know, I don't even think you see, like, what she sees, you know. It's just, like, you know, the music goes, ah, and, you know, and, like, everyone goes, ah, you know, and the whole audience jumped, like, oh, my God, you know, like, so it was, like, you saw that, and then there was, like, these quick cuts of, like, things happening, but you really can't even tell. It's like a dark, you know, in a house, it's dark. People are going, ah, you know, and so you really don't know what the hell it's about that much from, you know, from that little teaser clip. It was really only like, I don't know, 30 seconds maybe, something like that. But then they showed the prologue to the movie, which takes place in the 1800s, and it's supposed to show you, why there's this issue going on now in this house. Like, it's supposed to be, like, not like a haunted house, but it's, like, this house with, like, a secret. And there's this thing in the cellar, like an ash pit, and there's, like, these little creatures that live in there, and it's been locked away, and I guess now, like, someone has not inadvertently opened it, but, like, opened it and inadvertently unleashed these little creatures again. So the prologue shows you, like, you don't see the creatures or anything like that, but it shows you what happened with this other particular family in the 1800s, and whoa, it was frightening. It was really, it was very, like, you know, very Edgar Allan Poe, like, creepy, like that. So, truthfully, I feel like I want to see a movie that's all in the 1800s. Like, I that's the movie I want to see. Like, I don't even want to see the modern day people, like, with the creatures and being scared or whatever. Like, I want to see a movie all taking place in that house in the 1800s with those people. That's what I want. I don't know. It looks pretty good, though, and I trust Guillermo del Toro. That's for sure.
Well, I know Sony didn't quite trust The Green Hornet because they pushed it back from now until next year, but what did you think about The Green Hornet panel?
Well, I have to say that I really have no interest in Green Hornet. I really don't. Like, initially when there was no footage or anything like that for the Green Hornet, I was interested merely because Seth Rogen was going to be the Green Hornet, and I like him, and I think he's funny, and, you know, I'll pretty much check out anything he's going to be in. But then, I don't know, just, like, it's just so boring to me. Like, I've seen footage from it and pictures, and then in the panel they showed, like, a lot of footage, and it's boring the shit out of me. I just don't think it's going to be a good movie at all. I mean, the only redeeming quality it has is that Kato, like, kicks everybody's ass, and it's, like, really cool looking, you know, just, but that's it. Like, you could tell they're trying to, like, not to be funny, it's not a comedy, but like they're trying to make you laugh. Like, you know, the way they cut the trailer is supposed to be like these zingers and one-liners, and you're supposed to be like, ha-ha, you know, and I'm just not laughing, and I just don't care, and I'm just not, like, let's put it this way, I'm so disinterested that I actually left the panel, and I never do that. Like, I'm there covering everything for Geeks of Doom, and I'm also there because I'm a big movie fan, and I'm like really, you know, like I geek out over this stuff, and man, I could not care less. It was the last panel of the day on, I think it was Friday, and I said, you know what, let's just get the hell out of here, and that's it. I left in the middle of it, which, like I said, never happens. I usually stick it out for everything, but no, I couldn't take it anymore, so I left. So
I had high hopes when I first heard about it, but since Sony, I heard something that where Sony saw footage and they weren't happy with it. They were saying that Seth Rogen was taking it in a completely different direction than what they wanted, and maybe like kind of what you're saying, Seth Rogen was, he was playing it for maybe more dramatic elements, but Sony wanted like a, I don't know, a knocked up type comedy or something. And that's why they cut the trailer that way and marketed it this way. It's also going to be in 3D. And so they're up converting it, I believe. And they threw it into January, which is normally the dump month for all the movies they have no confidence in. So you're the first person that I've talked to that was not excited about it. Everyone else I've talked to, they were like, that trailer was awesome. And I said,
oh God.
I was like, yeah, I didn't watch the trailer, but just from all the troubles they're having behind the scenes, I don't have very much confidence in that movie. But
yeah, I have zero.
Yeah. So we already talked about the other guys. This post that was written up by the Movie God over at geeksofdoom.com included the Green Hornet, the other guys, and Priest. So,
okay, now, Priest, yes. Mm-hmm. Priest happened to be a movie that was completely not on my radar. When I saw it listed in the panel, I was like, they listed it in third, so I actually thought that it was going to be the very, very last panel of the day. And you know, at that point, I was like, well, you know, after Green Hornet and the other guys, you know, like, maybe I'll leave, you know, because I really didn't know anything about it. And at that point, I was exhausted. And, you know, when you're in these conventions, you typically, like, you go all day with, like, hardly any food, and like if you do get food at the con, it's really gross, and so by the end of the day you really just, you're running on empty, you know, it's like really you're exhausted, you're hungry, you're you know, you don't want to sit there anymore after like 9 hours. So I was like, maybe I'll leave, you know, I was like, if I'm really not up to staying, maybe I'll just leave. And they landed up showing it first, and I actually was blown away. I was like, I want to see this movie. Like, if you've never heard of this movie, like, definitely look it up. And I think Move God, I think he found the trailer on YouTube. They had put it up, I guess, the same day. And it looks badass, and it looks great. And I'm like, totally want, not only do I want to see it, but it's based on a graphic novel series, like a Tokyo Pop graphic novel series, and it's basically human versus vampire wars. You know, like there's been hundreds of years of these human vampire wars. I definitely want to read the comic. I absolutely want to read the comic. I think the movie is supposed to take place, I think they said the comic like begins in like the, you know, like you know, from like AD, like it starts from AD and like it goes all the way through till like, I don't know if it's like 20 years ago. I'm not really sure. It's something like that. And so they said they were going to do a prequel comic book that is supposed to be the last 20 years of what's been going on. And then, you know, and then you get to the movie, which I think the movie is supposed to take place now. I can't remember now. But all I know is that I was totally interested. They showed animated prologue. And again, it's like one of these things where they show you the prologue and it's awesome. It reminded me a lot of the, remember the animated sequence in Kill Bill?
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a lot of that, the style of it. And I saw that and I was like, you know what? I want to see, first of all, I want to see that movie. Like, just make a whole animated, you know, movie of that. Like, I want to see that. So that was great. And that serves as the prologue. And then now it's supposed to be like, I think it's supposed to be something to the effect of like these priests, they're trained vampire killers, right? Like, and so then once the vampire situation got under control, they were like, all right, priests, we don't need you anymore. And not only are they like, we don't need you anymore, but now they're like, well, now we're shunning you, you know? Mm. So like these priests have kind of been like underground and, you know, like they don't go out and kill vampires anymore. Like, you know, they're just like not doing anything. But now I think like vampires have resurfused and Paul Bettany is in it and his character is one of these priests. And the vampires come and they do something having to do with his family. So like basically like he goes to the church and he's like, you know, I need to be reinstated basically so I can go after these. So that's, and I think it's like, you know, kind of like a post-apocalyptic setting, you know,
mm-hmm.
It just looked really good. It looked really good. And I think we got to see, oh, you know what? We did see footage in 3D and you know me, I don't care about 3D and I don't need it and I don't want it. And you know, it does nothing for me, but I wasn't bothered. Like this one, I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. You know, that does look pretty cool. And so I won't hate on 3D for this. So this movie, I'm definitely going to see. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about it?
No, actually the stuff out of Comic-Con was the first, and I'm looking for the manga right now. As a matter of fact, I'm looking on Amazon. Uh-huh. So yeah, I
looked it up too, and I think on the Tokyo Pop site. Now I'm not into manga, like that's not really my area. I don't really know much about it, mm-hmm. like. But I did go like apparently they make like you know volumes at a time,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. there's like multi chapters within the volume. So like they said it was a 17 volume series so far, like maybe like 17 is coming out soon, something like that, but they were saying like 17. So like in my mind I take that to mean 17 graphic novels, you know?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's 17 volumes and within each volume there's multiple books in it, or multiple issues or something. I don't know, something like that. But I looked it up. I went to Tokyo Pop website and you can read the first volume online for free, like right there on their website. And it's 7 chapters and they're all around 22 pages each, so I guess it is like graphic novels, but it just seems like,
well,
I don't know,
about,
but I think that,
if you think about like how Scott Pilgrim is structured, I think that's how it's each one is like a book, and I think each one is a complete story.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you can read Volume 1 online for free right now if you go to tokyopop.com. And so I had started to do that early this morning to, like, check it out. And I don't know, it looks really good. I'm really, really interested in it. And actually, at the panel, they gave out tickets. And it was like, if you bring that ticket to, like, a certain, like, the fulfillment center, if you bring that ticket there, they give you it was like issue 1 of the like graphic novel. Actually, I have it over here. Hold on a second, Justin. I can't reach it.
I'm on the Tokyo Pop website right now, and they say that there's a priest app that's available right now. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it says the Priest app is a must-have for fans wishing to download the new full-color Priest Purgatory comic series. The original Priest.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Okay, yeah. The original Priest Genesis, Manhwa series, and news and trailers for the upcoming 2011 Priest film.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So basically what they gave out was issue 1 of that Priest Purgatory comic, which is the prequel to the movie. Okay. So it's in the form of, like, it's not in manga form. It's like your typical regular size single issue comic book.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, they always give out freebies and things like that at the con. And this was, I think, the only one I was like, I'm going to get this. Like, you can go get the kid. And I was like, I'm going right now. And I went and got it immediately. So.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff. I recommend it.
All right. I am looking forward to that. And I think we can go ahead and move on to the Disney announcements. They had a strong presence at Comic-Con. And someone that you already talked about a little bit, Guillermo del Toro, there was a certain announcement for Disney?
Yes. It was actually, it was the end of the Tron panel, and as I said, like, I don't think I said it on the recording, but Tron was a major, major, major presence at Comic-Con this year. It's like the advertising is everywhere on the streets, and, you know, it was definitely a panel that everybody was really interested in seeing. And, you know, if you talk to people and say, like, oh, what are you interested in? People are like, Tron, you know, and they set up, like, Flynn's Arcade again this year where, you know, it's like we actually Tom Cheridar, he got into Flynn's Arcade this year, and he took a whole bunch of photos from it, which we have on Geeks to Doom, so you could check that out. So it was the end of the Tron panel, and so it was, you know, supposedly over, and then all of a sudden the moderator, who happened to be Patton Oswalt, he was like, oh, you know, we have another thing to show you. And then they showed like a teaser, like a really quick teaser trailer of the Haunted Mansion, which is, you know, the Disney World ride attraction, you know, and it was basically just the Hatbox ghost, and they showed you like his image. It was and then like a voiceover from the ride, you know, I can't think of what he says, but it's like, you know, there are no windows, there are no doors, like that.
Yeah.
And first of all, everyone was saying, well, like Dave 3 and Andy from Drill Down, they were saying, oh, that's Ian McShane. Like, they're convinced that it's Ian McShane, but I don't know. So we'll see. Like, we have it here. They said that's Ian McShane. So we'll see if it turns out to be him. But anyway, they showed that. I know. And I was like, I don't think so. You know, we have like this 20-minute argument, but I really don't think that was him. But anyway, so they showed this, and everybody's like, okay, that's interesting. You know, like, that's all it was. Like, you know, the voice from the ride and this image. So everyone's like, okay. And then Patton Oswalt comes out, and he goes, okay, so Disney, you know, who would you think the director would, you know, like, which director do you think Disney would pick to reboot, reimagine, you know, redo their Haunted Mansion? So everyone's like, oh my God, who is it going to be? You know, and like Dave's like, Sam Raimi, you know, and people are like yelling out names, friggin' Guillermo del Toro. And out he comes. Okay. Everyone's like going crazy. And I don't know if you recall, but in 2003, Disney actually did a Haunted Mansion movie with Eddie Murphy. You probably know this, right?
Oh, I know.
You probably went to the theater to see it, right?
Yeah.
Of course you did. Actually, one left, so did I. You know why? I was on vacation in Disney World when it came out. And one of the things Dave and I like to do when we go to Disney World, we usually go for like 8 days or so, you know, in Florida. And what we usually like to do is go to the movies over at Pleasure Island over there. They have a really big AMC. And we love to go to the movies like, you know, either late at night or like, you know, early in the morning or something. Like, we'd love to go to the movies. And this particular time, I think we were there for 2 weeks. We were on like a 2-week vacation that year when it came out. And we were running out of movies to see. we actually had passes, and we were like, what are we going to go see? And I remember like Haunted Mansion was playing. We're like, all right, I guess, you know, go see Haunted Mansion. And I don't remember, like, hating it. It's not like I left the theater and I was like, this is the worst movie ever made, but I kind of was like, I think they really dropped the ball with this movie, you know? Like, did you like it?
No. The only thing I liked about that movie was the girl who played the wife of Eddie Murphy later on when I think it was season 4 of Lost, she was one of my favorite characters. So that's the only thing that I like about it, looking back on it. But yeah, I didn't think it was a very good movie.
Well, I didn't think it was a very good movie either, but I just, like, I guess I kind of felt like, I wish they would have just made it like a non-Disney movie. Like, I wish it hadn't been based on the Haunted Mansion ride. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish I was like, they should just made Eddie Murphy in a haunted house, like, you know, a funny haunted house, you know, like Ghost Dad or something, you know. Yeah. It's just like, you know, why'd they have to kind of make it the Haunted Mansion, Disney Haunted Mansion. So so basically Guillermo del Toro comes out and he's like, I want to assure you that this is not going to be a comedy. He's like, it's going to be scary. And he's like, and we're not returning Eddie Murphy's phone calls. That's what he said. Everybody's like, oh, you know. And I have to say, though, actually the article that I wrote up at the time, like, because I wrote it while I was sitting in the panel and I published it immediately, is that I had said that he was going to direct the movie, but then, like, because they said, like, what director do you think would do this movie? So, you know, that kind of implies that he's directing this movie, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was like, all right, he's directing this movie, what have you. And then he came out and he started to say, like, oh, this is what the movie's going to be about. It's going to be scary. This is going to be, you know, the scariest, house in the world, basically. He was saying, like, this is the Haunted Mansion, it's going to be the scariest house in the world. And he was saying how, you know, when he was like 3-4 years old, he came to Disneyland the year that the Haunted Mansion opened there. Uh-huh. And that he wrote it and how it impressed him, and how, you know, for years he's been like, oh, I'd love to do a movie on this and do it right, and, you know, things like that. And you know, it's basically like he was reassuring everyone, like, this is not going to be anything like the previous movie. And, you know, he's going to have the Del Toro stamp on it, you know. So then the next day when he was doing the Don't Be Afraid of the Dark panel, like, he said something about how he's producing the movie and writing it. So, but he didn't say he was directing it. So it's kind of still, you know, I don't know if he's directing it or not. It's still ambiguous. Like, I have no idea. Like, you know, it's really not cut and dry, like, what his role is going to be. I'm pretty sure he's writing it because, you know, he's writing it or he's writing the story and someone else is doing the screenplay. You know, with Del Toro, it's like, you really never know. He's always has so many projects in his queue. You know what I mean? It's like, he's going to do Frankenstein. He still has, you know, the third movie to do, you know, from, like, Pan's Labyrinth, mm-hmm. like, the third movie. And, you know, like, he just, like, yeah, the boy movie. You know, it's like, he's got so many things that he's got his hands in. Mm-hmm. And you never know with him if he's going to, like, let's say he's like, I'm going to write, direct, and produce this movie. You don't know if something's going to happen and he's like, oh, I'm just writing it. Like, for instance, what happened with The Hobbit, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, people were going, like, after the news, like, people were going, like, oh, they were like, oh, he left The Hobbit for this, you know? And I'm just like, I had to say, like, no, of course he didn't leave The Hobbit for this. Like, you know, that's a whole different ballgame, the situation with The Hobbit. Like, he'd have to be in New Zealand. It kept being pushed back. You know, it's like, this is just another project he's working on. Yeah, he's got a lot of projects he's working on. So it's definitely not like, oh, you know, I can't do The Hobbit anymore because I have to do Disney's Haunted Mansion, you know? So,
yeah. As a big Disney fan, and Haunted Mansion is, you know, one of my favorite attractions, it's nice to see that I heard him talking about he doesn't want it to be totally like the previous ones, kind of silly family comedy.
Right.
Like, there is going to be some scary elements to it, but it's still going to be a family film, but there's still going to be some scary...
Yeah, well, he actually said, like, I don't know if he said it's going to be a family film, but he did say something to the effect, like, you know, you can bring your kids to it, but they're going to be scared to death, basically. He said, he's like, you can bring them, but they're going to be scared. They're going to be really scared, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Hard to tell. Yeah, I am too. You know, I basically, anything he does, I'm looking forward to. any single thing, anything he does. And you know what I love about when he's doing a panel is that the quality of the questions just gets so much higher. Like, you know, you get some panels where, you know, people will come up and they'll say, like I've told you, like, what was it like to act with this person? Oh, amazing. You know, it's like, or, oh, how does it feel to be the hottest vampire? You know, like those kinds of questions, you know, and when people get up to ask him questions, it's like, I feel like, oh, would they get like the Harvard professors to come and like ask him questions? You know, it's like they're just so much more intelligent, and he answers them, you know, just so intelligently. He's like, and yeah, he makes jokes about how like, oh, my English is really bad and this and that, but it's like, he's just so intelligent. He knows how to speak. He knows how to captivate a crowd with his enthusiasm, you know, and his creativeness. So, yeah, I mean, it's Disney. I'm like you, I'm a big Disney fan. So I will absolutely give Disney a chance with pretty much anything they do. And the fact that he's involved, they got me, you know, they definitely got me on this one.
Yeah. And I think it's pretty cool that it's taken place kind of from the Hatbox Ghost perspective, because if anybody who's not a really big Disney fan, the Hatbox Ghost was an original ghost that was supposed to be inside the Haunted Mansion, but the effect of the ghost didn't work right, so they took him out of the ride, originally the attraction. So it's kind of an insider thing that's kind of cool to see the Hatbox Ghost make an appearance there. So
I don't think he lasted that long. I think it was something like a week or 2 weeks, something like that. It was like he didn't make it that long.
It was the effect was supposed to be his head disappeared into the box every time his heart would beat, and so it was supposed to be like a synchronized thing,
right.
But yeah, it didn't work out too well. So I'm interested to see how they're going to do it, and we'll see if Ian McShane makes an appearance in
the movie.
We'll see,
and then I'll have to eat my words. But I was like, I really don't think so, guys, but we'll see.
Yeah. So speaking of Disney and things that you wrote up for Geeks of Doom, there was a surprise video from Captain Jack Sparrow.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty cool. That was another thing that happened. Like, all of a sudden, lights went down, and it was like this video came up on screen, and it was Johnny Depp in his Pirates of the Caribbean character, Captain Jack Sparrow, and he just was like, oh, I hear there's a rumor going around that I'm, you know, putting together a crew to go to the Fountain of Youth, and he's like, oh, you know, rubbish, blah, 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 you know, whatever, and, you know, he just was like, the next adventure, there'll be zombies and cutthroats, and it was like a really quick message, but he was saying, like, you know, like, basically, get ready for the next movie, and actually, I think today I saw that there's a video. The video is up on YouTube now, so I think we're gonna post that so everyone can see it. But I did put a description in my post of what he said and everything. And so the interesting thing about that is that he said zombies, which I think is what caught everyone's attention. And said he said zombies were gonna be in it. Now, you know, I really don't know what that means exactly. You know, it could be, you know, when I think of that movie and I think of zombies being in that movie, like, I don't think of Dawn of the Dead zombies. I think of, like, what was that movie, the voodoo one? crap, I can't think of the name of it. But I think that's what I think of, well, like, the voodoo zombies. You know which one I'm talking about with the... Oh, God, I can't think of his name now. Wow, this is bad. I can't think of it.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
The white powder that blows the white powder in your face.
I don't think I've seen this movie you're speaking of.
Yes, you have. You have. You totally have.
I think you're in a dream right now, and I need to kick you.
It's the guy gets buried, remember? Oh, God.
Well, that's the movie with Ryan Reynolds, Buried. Yeah.
No. It's something like Good and Evil, and maybe, now that's going to bug me now. I'm going to have to think of that.
While you think of that, why don't you also tell us about the Tron presence at Comic-Con?
You know what? I have to say that I'm gonna admit something here. I think I'm a little burnt out on Tron. Yeah, I really do, because like this is the third year in a row that they are doing something with Tron, and you know it's kind of like I feel like I've been waiting so long, and there's just so much promotion for it, and it's just like it's really an overload of Tron at this point, and I already feel like I've seen too much of the movie. You know, like they showed footage and, you know, and it's cool and all, but I don't know. I kind of want to take a step back from Tron for a while so that when the movie actually comes out, I'm going to anticipate it again. I'm just burnt out. There's too much Tron around here. Way too much Tron. So. Yeah. But I mean, it looks good, you know, it looks like a good movie, but
yeah, that's the thing for me about Comic-Con is I love hearing about all these things, but at the same time, when a movie is not coming out until 2 years later, like all the stuff that they're showing right now, that's not coming out until 2011 or 2012, for me, that's just too long.
Yeah.
I don't want to know that much about the movie. And I wonder when that trend started to become popular, you know, like we have to know everything about the movie before it comes out. That's why I think with Christopher Nolan and Inception and certain movies where they don't give you, you know, very many details about the movie, I think it makes it a richer experience once you see it. And that's also one of the reasons why I try to watch as little trailers before the movie as I can,
right?
Because I really... Just give me the plot synopsis. Tell me what it's about. I don't need to see actual things that are in the movie. So that's...
Well, yeah, I mean, with me, like, there are some movies that I make it a point and I say, like, you know what, from the beginning, you know, I'll let someone else cover it. Like, I'll make it someone else's beat. And I was like, because I don't really, like, I want... Like, I feel like because I cover movies, like... I hardly ever go into a movie fresh, and like a movie like Inception, I did, you know, I didn't know any, and I made sure, I was like, I don't even want to know what it's about. Matter of fact, I didn't even know it had anything to do with dreams before I went into it. I was just like, I want to go in totally fresh. So I feel like with Tron, by the time I see it, I'm going to be like, yeah, I know every single thing there is to know or to see. Not so much know, like, you know, it's not really, you know, it's not really about the story. It's about the look. You know what I mean? So I feel like I've just seen way too much, too much. But if you're a Tron fan and, you know, like, for instance, when J.J. Abrams did Star Trek, like, you couldn't keep me away from, you know, footage and images and nothing. And I even knew, I was like, doesn't matter. They could show me every picture possible and footage, whatever, and I'm still going to go, and I'm going to go in fresh because it's like a whole new thing for me. Like, and I love Star Trek, and, you know, it's like nothing's going to ruin it for me. So, like, if you're that way about Tron, you're probably just like, I don't care how much I see in advance. Like, I'm still going to, you know, like, I'm still going to want to see it. It's not going to ruin it for me. But, like, I just feel like... certain, like, for me, like, I just feel like I've had too much Tron, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it was The Serpent and the Rainbow with Bill Pullman.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, okay. That's what I was referring to.
Voodoo zombies, you say, with white dust?
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time. Right. It's about, like, black magic and such, you know, so that's right. I don't know.
Give me Princess and the Frog any day over that. And that'll be my voodoo. But what's this Skyline panel that happened?
You know,
something?
I didn't make Skyline panel.
Oh.
That was Andy from the Drill Down. He covered that for us because I didn't want to get in line early again, so I missed it. So I'm really not sure what it was about. I think this and Battle Los Angeles, which is another panel. I was in the Battle Los Angeles panel, but I kind of stopped paying attention because I'll be honest with you, Michelle Rodriguez is in that movie. And when I see her, I'm like, oh, come on, man. Her again. Like, I just feel like she plays the same role in every single movie. So, you know, like the badass girl with the gun, you know, military, they got her, like, you know, in the tank top with the fatigues, you know, and that's exactly what she plays in Battle Los Angeles. So I really wasn't paying that much attention, but both of those movies are like alien invasion movies, basically.
Hmm.
So, you know, and after you've seen District 9, you're like, whatever, you know, like you're like, every movie now like that to me is like, oh, well, you got to beat District 9, you know, and neither of those movies seem to be, like, well, Battle Los Angeles, definitely not. And, Skyline, I mean, people were saying, oh yeah, you know, looks cool and this and that, but you know, like, I don't think they revealed that much.
Hmm.
But Andy did write about it for us, so you know, if you go to geeksofdoom.com, you could read his write up of it.
All right. Well, were you able to attend the Joss and JJ panel?
I did the Visionaries panel, which is like, you know, every year they do a Entertainment Weekly does a Visionaries panel where they get like, you know, one or more masterminds to come and speak just about whatever, you know, like they're not there to promote anything. They're just there to just talk about whatever. And so both J.J. Abrams and Joss Whedon, they did mention, you know, some of their projects that they're working on. You know, like JJ is working on Super 8, and Joss Whedon is the director of the Avengers movie. So they touched upon that, but actually the majority of the conversation was their thoughts on 3D, you know. So that was a pretty interesting panel, you know, and you know how I feel. I've said it. I can't stand the whole 3D thing and, you know, the up conversions and all that junk. And so it was a really, really lengthy discussion they had about 3D and, you know, like, you know, how they feel about it for the future and would they have it in their movies. So actually I recorded the panel and I gave it to, you know, the movie god, and he actually listed the whole thing and like did a really great write up for us, you know, about that panel. So you can check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to see something special. You saw a screening of a certain movie.
Yeah.
That you're not very excited about, and you weren't very excited about, and you hated the books.
I hated it.
What can you tell us about Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
I could tell you are very silly. Okay, you're a very silly man. No, let me just clarify for the audience, which is my mom and your mom.
Oh.
Mom, Mrs. Vactor, I don't hate Scott Pilgrim graphic novel, and I don't even dislike it. I actually I like it very much.
That what you're going with now?
No, well, it just at last year's convention, people were talking about the movie, how they were making this movie, and everyone was going, "This is the best graphic novel, you know, ever. You have to read this." And the people who were telling me this were movie people. Mm. You know, they're people who typically don't read comic books, and you know, the comic books they do read typically are, you know, when they find out a movie is going to be made from a comic book, they go and read the comic book. So these same people at the convention are telling me this is the best graphic novel ever, and I'm going, how can that be, you know? So I kind of was skeptical about believing that it's the best graphic novel ever, you know, when I've read things like, you know, Watchmen, you know, 10 years ago, and Sandman, and, you know, those are the kinds of graphic novels that I like to read and that are on the top of my list. And I'm like, I can't believe that this is the greatest ever. So I read the first book, and I guess I was just like, they're crazy. This is not the best ever. Like, what are they, you know, like, I guess I just had a buy, you know, like, I just didn't go into it with the right head, you know, because, you know, if it had been, you know, one of my comic book friends, and they said, I first of all, I hardly doubt they would tell me this is the best graphic novel ever, you know, but they would probably say, oh, read this, you'll love it, and this is the style, and mm-hmm. this is what you, you know, expect from it, or what have you. And so I read the first book, and then I read the second book, and I kind of was like, it's cool, but, you know, I guess I just didn't understand, like, why it was being hailed as, you know, the greatest ever, you know, so I guess I was just, you know, but it's really good, but it's just in a different style. Like, you know, you have to go into it with a different mindset. Like, don't expect it to be Watchmen, you know, or, you know, anything like that. It's just a different, you know, it's just a different style, you know. So I landed up, and then actually I talked to you. And you were like, no, you know, you got to go into it. You said, you know, you got to go into it differently, what have you. You should reread it. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think I will, because, you know, a lot of my friends now, like all the Comics of Doom guys, you know, they all love it. And, you know, I trust all those guys, you know, including you. Yeah. And so, you know, I was like, all right, I'm going to read it. So I did. And I did go into it with like a totally different mindset. And I kind of was like, all right, I get it now, you know, and I dig it, you know, and I, you know, I do like it. And believe me, I'm not the kind of person who is like, oh, everyone likes it, I have to like it, or, you know, the opposite, you know. I'm not like, oh, everyone loves it, I have to hate it.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, you know. And I was like, all right, you know, I was kind of wrong about it, you know. I went in with like a prejudice against it, you know. And so then I really, you know, I really enjoyed it. And believe me, I won't read anything I'm not enjoying. Like, I won't do it. Like, I'll put it down and be like, get it. I don't care. You know, this is not for me. But that's not how I felt. You know, I just kind of was like, I'm going to read it for what it is and enjoy it for what it is. And I did. And so I'm glad I did that, because, you know, it was really great. It was a really enjoyable series. And then I went to the panel. I really didn't expect much from the panel, because the movie's coming out in just a few weeks, you know. And typically when like a movie will have a panel when it's like almost ready to come out, it's really just like a stop on the publicity tour almost, you know what I mean? It's like, we're showing up to remind you to go see this movie in 2 weeks or what have you. And so Edgar Wright, who's the director of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, he moderated the panel, and then they had like the whole cast come out, you know, pretty much almost, I think it was the whole cast came out, or almost the whole cast, like all the big name ones came out, like, you know, Brandon Routh was there, and Jason Schwartzman, and what's the other one's name there? Chris Evans, because Chris Evans was there for like all the Marvel stuff, so he was there. And, you know, Edgar Wright is really a funny guy, and that, I mean, he made the panel. Like, I mean, you really didn't even care what the actors had to say. You just wanted to hear like Edgar Wright talk. And during the panel, they handed out these Scott Pilgrim buttons. They basically like would hand the first person in the row a bag of buttons and be like, take one, pass it down. And so all the bags were different. They had different buttons in them. So our row had Scott Pilgrim's face, and it said the comic book face, you know, and it said One Up on it. And at the end of the panel, Edgar Wright is like, oh, you know those buttons we gave out? And he's like, if yours says One Up, he's like, follow me. You could get into the free screening we're having tonight, like free advanced screening. So we were like, holy shit, that's us. We were like so happy. You don't even know. We were so happy. Like, I actually have a press screening in the beginning of August in Manhattan to see Scott Pilgrim. But, you know, after having, like, that was a pretty great day of panels, and, you know, that was the last panel of the day, and, you know, it was, like, really cool, and they showed footage, and I was like, oh, man, I just can't wait to see this movie. I know I'm going to love it. And he was like, follow me, and he literally left the building, and everyone that had the one-up button just followed him through the streets of San Diego. It had to be about 8 blocks away, the movie theater. And we just, he was like the Pied Piper. We just followed him down the street to the Balboa Theater. And then you just showed your button. It was like, you know, we had gotten the buttons and we put them right on the lanyard, you know, because you wear a lanyard with your pass for Comic-Con. So I just like put it right on my lanyard. So I was like, showed it. We got in. Got seats. We were with it was like me, Dave, Andy from Drill Down, and Javindra from Slash Film, and a bunch of other people. Like when we got there, like the other Slash Film guys were there, and I think Alex from First Showing was there, and a couple other people were there, and we got to see the movie, and it was like it was so strange, like, because everyone there is a Scott Pilgrim fan. Like, you would not go in there if you weren't a Scott Pilgrim fan already. And it was like screaming through the whole movie, screaming, cheering. It was like such a great way to see this movie with like, you know, fans of the comic and everything. And like Edgar Wright was there, the whole cast was there watching the movie with us. And then when the movie was over, the band Metric, who does the music for one of the bands in the movie, The Clash at Demonhead, they performed so the songs from Scott Pilgrim. So that was pretty cool. It was a really great way to top off, you know, a very long, long day. That day was long. That day started at like 6:30 in the morning, so that was a long day. So we ended up eating dinner at like, I think we went to like a Chinese food restaurant at like midnight. That dinner, finally. Yeah, it was crazy, but the movie was great. I have to say, like, I mean, I'll save my review of it for the week it comes out, and we review it all together. But Justin, you're gonna love it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let you go into that movie knowing you will love it, because there's no way you won't. There's no way you, if for some bizarre reason you're like, oh, you know, I really wasn't feeling it, I will friggin' drop dead on the spot. I really will. So that was the Scott Pilgrim Experience.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And another movie based on a comic book adaptation is Red, which was Summit Entertainment, and it's based on a Warren Ellis comic series. So what did you think about the Red panel? Did you go to that? This was another Andy Sorcini post on Geeks of Doom.
Yeah, we went to that, and he covered it for us. And, you know, I think it looks pretty good. I haven't read the graphic novel. People are telling me I should. They're saying it's really good. So I probably will.
Yeah, it's only three issues. It's pretty fast read.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, though, the movie diverges from the graphic novel. Mm. And, you know, Warren Ellis, he's very, I don't know how to explain it. Like, he's like the opposite of Alan Moore. Like, you know how Alan Moore is like, don't destroy my properties, you know? And it's like, uh-huh. Warren Ellis is like, just pay me and you can do whatever the hell you want, you know? And he was on the panel and people are asking him, like, how do you feel, you know, like they, you know, if they change things from your story. And he's like, I don't give a shit as long as they pay me. You know, like, why'd you let them adapt this? And he's like, they pay me lots of money. And, you know, he says it with like a dry, you know, like he's very like dry the way he says it. And then you laugh because you think he's joking. But, you know, I really don't think he's joking. Like, I really think that, you know, like he's learned the secret. You know, he's like, listen, you know, I write what I write, and you could go read what I write. And, you know, if they want to make it into a movie and change the hell out of it, that's fine. But, you know, I'm going to make a living from it. Like, you're going to pay me, and then you got to do what you got to do, you know. But I also feel like if this was one of these things where he was like, yep, they trashed the hell out of my book and it sucks, I kind of feel like he wouldn't have bothered to be on the panel. You know what I mean? Because he was saying, no, you know, I like what they did. You know, and I don't think he's the kind of guy that would lie. I mean, if you follow him on Twitter, you know how he is, man. You know, so I don't think that he would go up there and be like, yep, I love it. You know, like he's not going to do that. You know, so I think he's like, yeah, they did a good job, you know. And Helen Mirren actually came out with like a Harvey Pekar memorial shirt, you know, because apparently like she knew him, you know. And so that was kind of interesting, and she looks great, and of course everybody loves her. It's so great to see, like, you know, a woman like her, you know, like she's an older woman, and, you know, she's had, like, you know, serious roles. She's at the Academy Award, you know, did she win? I don't even remember, but she was nominated. And, you know, to see, like, her come out at Comic-Con and people, like, screaming for her, that is just so awesome, you know. And Bruce Willis was there, too. And, you know, they just showed some clips, and basically if you've seen the trailer, you know exactly what the movie's going to be about. Like, you know, there was this one scene they showed of Bruce Willis getting out of a car, and everybody started screaming because it looked really, really good. It was like an action sequence where, like, he actually, like, stands up out of a car while it's still in motion. Mm. and he starts shooting, and it looked really badass. So everyone like started screaming for that. That was pretty cool. So, you know, I think it'll be a good movie. I don't know that it's going to be like a blockbuster or anything like that. It'll probably get not so much recognition, I guess, you know, but it looks like it'll be good. You haven't watched the trailer?
I did. I watched the very first trailer that that came out, and that was just kind of to get a sense of it.
Okay.
So I am looking forward to the film. And Warren Ellis is one of my favorite writers, so yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
All right, cool.
We went in kind of a reverse order from the actual reverse chronological order.
yeah.
From the preview night, there's a video blog where we get to see Eve's hand and she's operating the camera, and you get to actually see Dave 3, Guy Jin, and Henchman 21's faces. First time I ever saw Henchman 21, and I was appalled, and I wanted to turn my video off. So that was that. But all right, so right now, your favorite thing you saw at Comic-Con?
My favorite thing? I think I'm going to have to go with Thor. The Thor footage, because Thor is one of my favorite Marvel characters, and you know, I was apprehensive, you know, I really, even though I feel like maybe I shouldn't be, because Marvel, you know, they've been doing a good job, so I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be, but I was, you know, and now I'm completely not anymore. Well, now I'm completely happy.
Yeah, wait till you see Iron Man 2 to make that statement, but
oh, that's
yeah.
True.
All right. Well, was there anything, just off the top of your head, anything that disappointed you that you were really looking forward to and it just didn't turn out to be what you thought it would be?
Not really. You know, I think, well, I could say Green Hornet, but I kind of went into that thinking like, I haven't liked what I've seen so far. So I'm not, you know, it wasn't a shift, but I have to say on a whole, like this was a very, uplifting year for me, it's convention wise like, you know, every year that I come here, you know, I'm not always in love with everything that I see, and I feel like this time the days really went by fast, because everything I saw I was really into and I really liked, and it kept my interest, and you know, it was just like a really great you know, it's funny because like this year I've been so bored with the movies that have come out this year. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm kind of like, well, you know, the movie's coming out next year. You know, they really have my attention now.
Well, I think I'll be looking forward to it as well as all of our listeners. And that's going to wrap up this episode of Flicks of Doom, special Comic-Con edition of Flicks of Doom. Our guy Jen Pal, maybe he'll come back and give us his thoughts next week.
Well, he didn't go to any movie panels.
What?
He went to all comic books, and you know, I'm not sure what else he went to, but I know he really was working the comics scene here. All right. Like, he didn't come to not one, and I even was like, come on, I'll say ABC, you want to come? No, he didn't want to. He wanted to do all comics. So.
All right. Well, if you want to hear what Guy Jin thought about Comic-Con, check out the Comics of Doom podcast, which is a part of the Geeks of Doom podcast network, and you'll hear what he thought about the comic panels. So that's it, guys. Check out geeksofdoom.com for all these stories and more, and we'll see you again next year at Comic-Con.
Yay.
I'm recording, so whenever you're ready.
No, wait.